Thank you so much, ladies. Good morning, one and all. What a wonderful day God's given us today. I want to welcome you to services this morning here at Fruitland. We have a few handicaps, don't we, and obstacles, but at least a few of us made it today, and actually a better crowd than what I thought might have made it. We're glad for everyone that's here. If you're visiting or if you're an old, regular, faithful person, we're glad always that God allows us to have our doors open. I'm also going to have to ask our ushers this morning to shut down our house lights because we're going to have a hard time seeing the screen with the bright sun, not the bright sun, but the bright snow outside. But let's give God the glory today. My voice is bad today. Went bad overnight. My throat. But thankfully, we've got Jeff Hendricks, and he's going to lead us in our singing this morning. So, Jeff, let's get started, and then I'll come back up here, and we'll have our invocation.
Okay, well, if you can see the screen,
to God be the
glory. Glory, 52 in the books if you want to look.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Life and atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. All come to the Father. The purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offenders who truly believes the moment from Jesus a pardon receives.
Sing it out.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. All come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Taught us great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be the wonder our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. All come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he done.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's remain standing for our invocation. Our Father in heaven, thank you once again for this wonderful day and for the faithful that came out today to show you publicly how much we love and adore you. I pray today, Lord, that you would be the center of our thoughts today, the center of our worship and adoration. And Lord, again, we understand today that there are hindrances in this broken world. And yet, Lord, the beauty that you give us these days of the snow and the ice is a reminder of your faithfulness, that the seasons go on as you have intended, and Lord, your might and power go on as is intended. We're thankful today, Lord, too, just how this as we see these things that happen as disruptions, you see them as times that drive us to our knees, where we are standing and on our knees in awe of you, over your power and might. So, Lord, I pray today that you'll draw us closer and that you'll help us to be ever mindful of your goodness that's displayed toward us. Now, Lord, we thank you for a good number that came out this morning. We realize many are not here for various reasons. We know some are ill. We know today in particular Rose Weichert has taken a fall. And there are others, Lord, in our number and in our midst that are struggling from illnesses and infirmities. But also, Lord, there's some people today, I'm sure, that are depressed. There's people that have turned their backs on you and are not walking with you this day. And Lord, many reasons that we cannot all comprehend. There could be people that are grieving today and that are struggling with depression. I pray today, Lord, that you would help all of us to turn our hearts toward you. Now, Lord, we always remember our community and the needs here and people that are unsaved, the souls, Lord, that we encounter daily, that we can speak a word for you. We pray, Lord, that you'd work powerfully in their lives through the power of the Spirit and through the power of the Word. Now, Lord, help us again as we approach this time of worship and the opening of the Word. May the Holy Spirit be active today among us. And I just ask, Lord, again, that you would change us today, that we leave this place unlike the way that we came in. Grow us and change us, I pray, and we'll give you the praise and thank you for your presence here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please be seated. Again, welcome to one and all. I'm delighted that we have a good number out this morning. Obviously, our service is a little different. We are considering bringing the choir back online here as Jeff considers that. Anyway, at this time, I'd like us to take a look at the right-hand side of our bulletin just for a few thoughts. Well, this is the first thing we need to decide. I think it's really been decided. But could I see a show of hands tonight, what you think about having an evening service? We as the leadership here think it's not a wise thing in the dark with our ice situation the way it is. We work fairly hard to try to get things in decent order. But let's see a show of hands here tonight, or today, about tonight. How many think it's a wise thing to have services tonight? Okay, I concur. So, I mean this sadly, because I look forward to the time of fellowship. The message is there. If we were to get into a prolonged situation with no evening services, we'll have them on the website again as well. But we will not then have services tonight. Wednesday evening is on, unless, again, we're providentially hindered by the weather. But I do encourage you to all be very careful as you operate, because there can be some nasty things that go on when we take spills. Anyway, you'll notice, though, that the message for tonight will be preached at some point when God allows that to happen. Also, check with Denny Wheeler when he's going to reinstitute our men's Bible study. We invite all men to that. We even have had women on occasion that came, and so you're welcome. But every other Saturday usually is when Denny does this, but we'll be kicking that off again as the COVID situation warrants and so forth. Excuse me. There is a ladies' Bible study on Saturday the 9th. That's next Saturday. And I believe that time is at 10 o'clock. Is that correct? I don't think any of our women's Bible study gals are here. The leaders are. It's at 10 o'clock, Kay? Okay, very good. And then on the 23rd, also next Sunday, and be in prayer for this as well, Andy Counterman from Burlington is going to be coming up to share some of his ministry opportunities that God has laid on his hand in Central America, and about churches planning and so forth and equipping pastors. So Andy Counterman, Lord willing, will be here next Sunday morning. I trust we'll have a nice turnout and be pleased to hear what he has to say. Wilton Bible Study will be this coming week on Thursday. That's at the Presbyterian Church. Mr. Mike Reichert back here that's visiting with us today is the current guy that's heading that up. So we'll invite you to that as well, but pray for that as well, as we've considered, you know, our influence in the Wilton area for the Lord Jesus, and so pray for that as well. Now, we didn't get the pastor's thought for the week in the bulletin this week, but here's what it is, and here's what I had given. How will you invest the dividends of God's grace in 2020 for the potential gains of 2021? How will you invest the dividends? Were there any dividends in 2020? We hear a lot of negative, but I think there were some good things. God's still working. But how will you invest those gains of God's grace from 2020 for the potential gains of 2021? Are there any other announcements that we need to make this morning? I apologize for my voice. About 9 o'clock last night, my throat began to get sore, and it was worse through the night, but we'll do our best, and thankfully Jeff's able to lead this morning, but good to see several out this morning. Anything else we need to announce? Okay. Now, as you know, we don't pass the offering plate, and that, again, is something that needs to be personally led by the Spirit through the Word. By the way, God's Word has a lot to say about how we handle the resources that God blesses us with. But as we pray about that this morning, both the gift and the giver, let's also take a time to meditate this morning about the message. This is a part two message today that we didn't get finished last week. And that God would touch our lives today. You know, prayer has many components: confession and repentance, praise, adoration of God, requests, supplications. You can go right down the line. But I trust today that you're actively involved in a close prayer life with the Lord Jesus Christ. So at this time, I'm going to pray. Then we'll have just a few minutes of meditation here as the ladies play. And then I believe Jason has some music to lead us with as a congregation. Shall we pray? Our Father, thank you once again. That word must be on our lips when we think of you. The word thank you. And Lord, you are ever faithful. You never break your promises. You never go back on your word. And you never change. And so we thank you today that your love for mankind has not swayed one inch. No matter what mankind has done, you are ever faithful in your love. Now we thank you today, Lord Jesus, that you gave it all for us. You, as the God of heaven, had no reason to come to redeem any of us from our sins, from our transgressions before you. But in your grace and mercy, you saw fit because you loved us. You knew what we'd gone through. You were ready to forgive our mistakes if we'd place our faith in your work to redeem us on Calvary's cross and in your resurrection. So, Lord, we face that today. This is not a day to be somber. This is a day to be thankful for the victory we have in you. And I'm excited about that. Thank you, Lord, that you did that for us. That gives us every reason to be excited about you. And, Lord, as we examine now what you've done, we know that you've filled our cup to overflowing. And so, Father, in recognition of that, I pray you guide and direct us, both the gift and the giver today, that it would be directed towards you, Lord, realizing that you are the one who gave it. And you just, again, are pleased by us giving a portion of that back. Guide and direct our hearts. Prepare our hearts now for this message today about adversity and prosperity in the church. And give us the power of the Spirit today that would be alive. And show us, Lord, again, your power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Jason has a presentation at this time.
There it is. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning. I always struggle knowing what to say when I'm up here, and especially with the new song here. When I was asked to come up this morning and fill in with a special, a learning special, I already kind of knew what I was looking to bring, that I was led to bring. And this is a song that, you know, honestly, oftentimes I bring to the Lord when I'm just worshiping Him on my own. And it's just something when I'm in the car or, you know, just in a room by myself, it's just me and the Lord, I sing this song a cappella. And I've never put music to it on the guitar before, you know, before today, really, and practicing for today. And, you know, I have to be honest, it's probably a little bit different than what we're used to hearing here. It's a different type of song. But, you know, this is not just a song. This is a worship song to be sung to the Lord from our hearts, and it's a prayer too. And I think it's really fitting to the coming year, what we want God to be in our lives, and it's called Be the Center. It's a pretty simple song. I have it set up where the first three verses are just going to be all together, and then we're going to go to the chorus and then repeat, and then we're going to finish with a special verse and repeat that in a cappella afterward. And sorry if my guitaring gets a little crazy here. We'll try to keep it in tune, and you know, maybe a little bit slower too. I have a tendency to speed up on songs like this, but regardless of what that, you know, what happens there, and this thing is kind of a clumsy instrument in my hands, but I just encourage you to sing from your heart to the Lord on this, and really let it be a prayer. And if you know it right off the bat, sing with me. Otherwise, I'll have you guys join me on the second time to go through the verse. Excuse me, and I did shovel a lot of ice and snow off my driveway here, and that's not really conducive to a good voice, right, Pastor? So praise the Lord. You know, Psalm 100, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It doesn't say make a beautiful one. But hopefully we can do both today.
Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my light, Jesus, Jesus. Be the center, be my hope, be my song, Jesus, Jesus, be my vision. Be my path, be my guide, Jesus. Here we go. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus, Jesus, join me, Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my light, Jesus, Jesus, be the center, be my hope, be my song, Jesus. Jesus, be my vision, be my path, be my guide, Jesus.
Here we go.
Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus. Jesus,
watch for changes.
Jesus, be the center, be my hope, be my light, Jesus. Jesus, be my vision, be my path, be my guide, Jesus. Be my path, be my guide, Jesus.
Sing a cappella now.
Jesus, be the center, be my hope, be my light, Jesus.
Raise your voices to him.
Jesus, be my vision, be my path, be my guide, Jesus.
One more time.
Be my path, be my guide, Jesus.
Man, thank you, Jason. May that be our prayer every day, but especially for this year to come, right? All right. Hey, no somber faces this morning. We have a lot to be thankful for and a lot to be joyful about this day. Now, before we go into the message, again, that centers around this new year, I'd like you to turn either on your devices or in your Bibles to the book of Jude for just a little fun here, but something that's yet serious. Now, you know, in normal times when people take a fall, and interestingly enough, as we age, a fall is a very scary thing, isn't it? Because what goes along with falls? Broken bones, critical injuries, that's right. Jane, but you know what? I just want to share with you this morning because a lot of us are a little leery about taking a spill out here, aren't we, on the ice? And it's all over, folks. It's not just at Fruitland Baptist Church. Interestingly enough, everyone from down here, you ought to be really thankful this morning because up our way, the fog is so thick you can barely see in front of you. And down here, it's relatively clear. But now I want to have a little fun about this because we're worried about our falls on the ice. But you know what? This is an ice storm verse. How many of you know about this? Oh, come on, Fruitland. Let's get excited about our faith today. I'll never forget the time Kathy Schomer took a spill. She's an elderly lady. They don't get down here anymore. Shut in right now. And I went up to the hospital in Iowa City to visit her. And I read her this verse and I got her to laugh. Do you see it there? Jude. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude. But verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to, this is the ice storm verse, But let me just say this, folks. We're worried about falling on the ice. We better be worried about falling from Jesus. If you're a born-again believer here, you will not lose your salvation, but your walk can go backwards in Jesus Christ. And folks, we need to be concerned. I'm sure there are people here this morning, but also people that are not here that maybe are struggling in their walk. But let me just tell you this. It'll be us that struggle, not Jesus Christ. He's on a firm foundation. And as the Apostle Jude says here, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. He will keep us from falling today, and I'm thankful for that. The title of our message this morning is I Greet You Once Again. And by the way, today, due to this thing I've developed overnight, I'm not going to come back to the back door today or get up close. I'll have my mask. If there are spiritual needs, I'll be up front. But I think today that's a good idea to just stay away, even if it's just a throat thing or something. I don't want to contaminate any of you any more than I do. So that'll be how we'll operate today. But the title of our message today is a part two of adversity and prosperity, two certainties of a walk and a service with Jesus Christ. And it goes around a personal thing with us, but also a corporate thing as the local church. And we investigated part one of that last week. I have to tell you, last week was the negative stuff, right? Because we learned about the bad things. But Paul also tells us about the good things, and that's what we're going to focus on today. Do you remember, before we pray, what we faced or what we focused on? Two P's. Places and people. And Paul named names. Some of the ones that did him dirty. Doesn't mean he didn't love them or continue to pray for them. But he was in some rough environments with people. And he was in rough environments with people. Remember what the bad church was? Corinth. Corinth. By the way, that's what we're studying in the Wilton Bible study. That was a very rough work for the Apostle Paul. I thank God today for Fruitland Baptist Church and for those that make it up. It's been a pleasure to serve you. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, again, as we direct our hearts now towards this new year, and we thank you today, Lord, for that great reminder in that song that Jason brought us today. Lord, your desire is that you'd be smack in the center of this new year in the believers' lives. But also, Lord, it's your will that this whole world would put you in the center perspective. And Lord, that we'd take a hard look at you. And as we learned last week in our message, you're durable. Your word is durable. You are the truth. And that truth will set us free. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll work in the hearts of the people in this whole world this year. We pray for our leaders and, Lord, the change of leadership that will soon be likely be coming in America. And, Lord, we give all that over to you for your will to be done. But we pray, Lord, again, that you'll call the people to yourself. And, Lord, that we'd see a dynamic revival in America in the days to come as we anticipate adversity. But, Lord, also as we are prepared for prosperity that you can bring. Lord, according to the things that I've studied, there hasn't been a real revival in America for over 100 years. I'm praying that 2021 will be the year that, like your old servant Billy Sunday, when he broke a few folding chairs to get people's attention up here on Iowa Avenue and 7th, and over 4,000 souls were saved in those revival meetings that he had. I pray that this year a fire would burn in the hearts of the believers and we'd see something big happen. But Lord, whatever happens, either adversity or prosperity, we're going to trust you for the outcome. Now, Lord, help me as I preach this message. I'm not on the top of my game today. I never am, Lord. It's only what you can do that makes this effective. And so we ask that you'd bring this word out to us today and help us to take our minds back, Lord, to the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary church planter ever recorded in history. Lord, he had much fewer tools and much less prosperity around him than we do today. And yet, Lord, what do we do with what you've given us? In many cases, even as the Christian community, we squandered away. Lord, may this time not be a waste as we investigate your word through the hand of your servant Paul. And I pray that you'll give me the Holy Spirit power and endurance to bring it. And Lord, that this will speak home and hit home, speak to home and hit home today. And as always, Lord, we remember a good number today that are not out for various reasons and our community. And Lord, the needy in our midst are not so much the ones that may lack every kind of food that's available or clothing and shelter, even though that's something. But Lord, the biggest needs today are the needs of the spiritual food. And I pray again, Father, you'll enrich us on it this day. Bless us, I pray, and may we be a blessing to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, the title says it all. There's going to be good times and bad. But let me just give you this encouragement, because I see this and I hear this in our media and in the general population. They think that we're in for a time of tough times. And that could very well be in the physical sense, in the needs of humans. But I believe this, folks, if you look back into any period of history that God has endorsed and how he has worked, he's worked his greatest works in the time of the most difficulties. What do you think about that this morning? Read your history books. Read the history book here, right here. His story, the Bible. When the times get tough, if God's people will get tough as well, not in a way that is unappealing to the people around us, but if we'll stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in love, great things can happen. And let me just tell you something today, folks. We're not in that bad a shape. Oh, sure, I agree. We're not headed in a good direction. But we're by no means down and out as the Christian community. And as we know, again, in the New Testament era of the church, when the persecutions increased, the church grew and flourished. I don't see why this year can't be a year of prosperity in our lives and in the life of the church here at Fruitland Baptist Church. This local group of believers that gathers together for worship, edification, and to watch out for each other. For the sake of Jesus Christ and to be a witness to our community. I think it can be a very much prosperous time. Well, last week we learned all the negatives. How bad did it get for Paul? Pretty bad, didn't it? You know, but in the end, Paul was still able to thank God, and he also had many people that were delight. I mentioned to you last week, just as a little rerun of the introduction, that churches have reputations. And the churches that Paul planted had reputations. Some of them had good reputations, some of them not so good. Corinth was one that was not so good. Now, along with us mentioning Corinth as being the rough place that Paul was at, where was the good place that he was at? Philippi. That's the church of Philippi. You'll find very little that Paul said against Philippi. He was very pleased, and we'll look at that this morning. But the thing is, folks, it's important to understand that there will be both types of things that we encounter. But never forget, there's always going to be good with the bad. And we can be blessed by God, even in times of adversity, through his very goodness. So I'm excited about that this year. I could go on, if I was able to sing today, I could go on singing. You know, I'd like to have Jeff come up here and lead us in a couple of stanzas of victory in Jesus, right? Yeah, you know, I get excited about verses like 1 Corinthians 15:57, which says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus said in John 16:33, though, on the other side of that, he says, "In this world you will have..." So learn how to get a scowl on your face. That's not what he says, is it? He says, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but," and as I always say, thank God for buts. It's a conjunction, by the way. "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Folks, that's how we need to approach this new year. And I trust that you're considering these things. And as I said, that even maybe by the end of the service, you'll have a smile glued on your face, whether it's fake or not. A smile's always better than a frown, right? Turn the frown upside down. All right, well, let's get into the Word this morning. So the first point we're going to look at under the certainty of prosperity, and no, there's no handout with this, and I'm sorry about that, and I do have to cough just a minute. Turn in your Bibles or your devices, again, to the book of Philippians. the New Testament epistle or letter from the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. And as we said, you remember last week under this adversity, Paul started naming names of the people that did him dirty, right? Well, that's kind of an interesting thing, but you know, I was thinking about that this week, about old Alexander the coppersmith. And remember where that took place at? Ephesus. Yeah, over the goddess production of Diana. Now, our Diana Fruitland here isn't with us today. By the way, pray for her husband. He did come through surgery well this week, and I believe with good reports. Diana Hall, Dan Hall. But Paul had some troubles because, you know what? There's a competition out there. And Satan is in that battle. And he presents a lot of things that appeal to the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And so idolatry in Ephesus. But let me just tell you something, folks. God's ways ran supreme. So even though Paul and Alexander had some difficulties there, don't believe for once that Paul wasn't praying for Alexander. Amen? He was praying again that he'd receive Christ and that he'd turn from his wicked and idolatrous ways to the God of the Bible, the one and true God. But anyway, excuse me, the book of Philippians. Let's see about this gratification and satisfaction that Paul had in the church at Philippi. And let me just say this before I get into the meat of things here today. It should always be in our best interests in the cause of Christ to lift up our churches, your local churches. And I'll tell you what, it takes quite a bit to get me grouchy, but Kim knows it can happen. I've got to imbibe in another one of these here. But you know, something that really bothers me is when people trash talk their church. Now again, we live in a country where there's free speech, yet guaranteed by our Constitution. We can say anything that we want. But I'm going to go back to something my mother told me, and that's reinforced by the Bible. If you can't say something good,
don't say it at all.
You take that. And you know what? With the efforts that you're going to make to downtrodden or to trash a church, turn that energy into what? Uplifting your local church. By the way, the Bible has remedies, folks. This says Walgreens on it. But Walgreens isn't the only place that has remedies. The Lord does. And if there's problems between believers, he gives the remedy, Matthew 18, how we go to people and how we settle these things. But folks, it should never be the goal to destroy a local congregation. Amen? And every one of us has a responsibility not to let it go incorrectly, to set it straight, but to do it in love. And the goal here is what? Is for us to spiritually grow into a beautifully built house of God. That's his goal for us. Anyway, Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. Now again, even when Paul addressed some of the things that took place, I don't believe he tore down any of those churches. He didn't tear down the church at Ephesus. He may have had to discipline those churches. By the way, the word discipline in the Greek is the word orthos. Or you may know a product that you buy in the summer if you're gardeners that's produced by a company that's no longer standalone, but it used to be called Ortho. Right? Orthos in the Greek means to set a broken bone straight. That's what discipline means, folks. To correct something that's gotten out of line. And you remember I gave you that evidence in the closing about Paul with Corinth. And I'm paraphrasing what he said, but what did he say? You have a choice because I'm going to come back. And what did he say? Will it be with a rod? And I can see Paul, you better get this figured out right, Corinth. Or he's going to come back with praise. But let me just say this, folks. Paul never tore a church down. He did everything that he did to try to see it built up. And that's what we ought to do with our local churches. All right, Philippians 1, 3 through 8. Paul's gratification and satisfaction. Here it is. First of all, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You know, let's face it, for any of us that have been around the churches for any length of time, the church is a troubled place. We could all sit here this morning and come up with things and say, you know what, I don't agree with each other on a lot of different things. Couldn't we do that today? Maybe some of you are in that mood today to have a fight. I'm not. I don't feel up to it today. I'll fight for the right things, folks. But for the things that are not significant things, we have to understand there is liberty in the body of Christ. Core doctrinal things, yes, we have to stand firm on. But we're all diverse to an extent in here this morning. We don't see everything the same. Mike Reichert sees green when I see red. And I still love you, Mike. Dean Naylor has things when he sees me. He thinks, oh. I didn't say a word. Come on, lighten up a little bit. But let me ask you honestly, how many times have you participated in a church, even Fruitland Baptist Church over the years? Could you say you were thankful for everything that ever took place here? And the answer to that is probably not. Because we know too, over the years, things have not been right in the churches. But you know what? Philippi must have been a special church, and that's what we need to strive for, because Paul said, did you see it? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. How many don't like to read the book of Philippians? It's where I go for encouragement. Right? I told you, Dean, we wouldn't agree on that, but I still love you. I know. What about Philippians 4:13? Is that ever a popular verse with you? I'm going to start talking like a teenager here in a minute. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And you go right on down the line. Philippi was a good church. Paul says in verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. Let's face it, folks, a lot of people are not joyful about the local church today. And most of them could gripe about things. And you could gripe about things here at Fruitland. But we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful that Fruitland Baptist still stands on the Word of God. And it still is here to love people for Christ's sake. We ought to be excited about that, even though it's icy. And Paul goes on there. He says in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The church at Philippi was faithful in the cause of Christ, not only when Paul planted that church, but as Paul moved on, they never forgot him. And they were faithful. And Paul saw joy about that. Now, Philippians 1:6 is taken out of context a lot of times, but here's what Paul said about it. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul had every confidence in the church of Philippi that they would walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that verse is used often in a personal way, but it's a verse about the churches. But I ask you today, and I told you already last week, if you weren't here last week, I'm not negative on Fruitland Baptist Church at all. I think this church is in a prosperous mode. It may not be that we'll have to get a new tote board for the offering, but that's not the important thing, is it? No. The important thing is that there's a spiritual strength here that I think is growing. And I get excited about that. I really do. And Paul had confidence in Philippi. He said, God's going to use you till he's done using you. That should be the goal of Fruitland Baptist Church. Always, but especially in the year 2021, where we're going to face some challenges. Let me see one person today that says we won't face a challenge in 2021. I don't have my hand up, because I think we will. But I'm confident, like Paul, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's our goal, folks, not to go out with a whimper here, but to go out with a bang. Paul said many good things. He said, even as it is meet or fit for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds. Paul was in prison in Rome while he wrote this. And in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, You are all partakers of my grace. Paul says, I'm still with you in spirit, even though I can't be there physically. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all. Paul must have been Southern here. In the bowels of Jesus Christ, it says in the King James, meaning the deep affections of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there was something special about Philippi. Now go over to chapter 4, verse 1. I just want to add to this just a little bit. Philippians 4, verse 1. Just want you to get here what Paul thought of that church, that it was a prosperous church. And he said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You think Paul liked the Philippian group? He certainly did. And he was encouraging them to keep on keeping on. Great message again for today. And then also, go over to verses 15 through 19. And I can't show you everything this morning. But you get the idea that this place called Philippi, and again, we're focusing on places and people of God's work, brought Paul much gratification and satisfaction. Verses 15 through 19. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you. Meaning what? The church at Philippi was not of the mainstream. They were not running with the crowd. They were the ones that were standing for Christ. They were supporting Paul in tough times. And even in Thessalonica, Paul says, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Another thing that we are going to focus on with Andy coming next week, missions. You know what? Every local church in the Great Commission, we're called to not only be working here at home, but out into Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we have a need to call and to confirm and to support some new missionaries. And I think that's a part of a prosperous church. You know, an old rule of thumb is that a church needs to tithe as well. In other words, about a 10% of the take-in of the local church ought to be involved in foreign missions outside of our boundaries where we can reach. Interestingly enough, come on Sunday nights here, if we ever get into this new year, we're going to be learning about real church. And that's really learning inside the walls how we need to operate outside the walls. Okay? And that's going to be a good thing to bring prosperity further multiplied to Fruitland Baptist Church. So come with that in mind. Come with questions. Come with an open forum how we can help each other to reach people. And you'll be hearing more about that in the near future. Now let's see. We wanted to go on here. Verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, Paul says, but I desire fruit that may abound to your to your account. And folks, didn't we learn about that here in the last month? That we talked about that in the Christmas season, but you know, was there fruit production going on during that time? Will there be fruit production not only individually, but in the outflow corporately of the local church in 2021? I pray that there will be. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Another verse that's taken out of context a lot of times, but not always. But my God shall supply some of your needs through his riches and glory. All of your needs through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Folks, I can say definitively today, we don't have to preach about money here at Fruitland Baptist Church. Because if we're walking with the Lord, whether it's thick or thin, we'll have what we need. Do you agree with me on that? Because it comes from God's almighty hand through his people. And so you've heard that many times here at Fruitland. We're going to trust God for the outcome of things. We're not going to turn it into a human circus to raise the things that are necessary to see this operate. We're going to operate with God by faith. Amen. I'm excited about that. That's how we've always done it. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. And he's seen us have prosperity because of it. All right, now, one other turn here on the gratification and satisfaction. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. So we're going to go back to the big old bad old Corinthians now. By the way, did Paul still love the Corinthians? Sure he did, because if he wouldn't have loved them, he wouldn't have done what? He got a little rough with them. Love is not always manifested in gushy-gushy stuff, right? Sometimes love is manifested in serious issues that are addressed seriously. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. Paul's writing here to Corinth at this time, but he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Paul's saying, I'm giving you this example. "How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, they abounded under the riches of their liberality." By the way, the Bible does have the word liberal in it sometimes. Just wanted you to be sure you knew that. "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." So who's Paul lifting up here? One of the churches that he had trouble in, Ephesus, right? Didn't I read that correctly there? Yeah. And he's using them as an example to the church at Corinth. And he's saying here to them, look what can happen. And I know that, you know, the funds and so forth were short at that church. But God said what? When there's true prosperity, there's also true sacrifice. Now, we don't talk about that much. And I'm not here to come on to you like a televangelist or anything else. You know that. But folks, if we see prosperity at Fruitland Baptist Church in winning souls and in operating as a great witness for Jesus Christ, it may involve sacrificial giving on our part. Giving above and beyond what we normally would. Giving till it hurts. Because I'm telling you what Paul was saying here, that's how we see prosperity. Now, that's not top down where I say, now we need to do this, thus, and so project. That's us coming personally before the Lord and saying, Lord, what will you help me do that we corporately, as a church, can prosper with? I gave you one example is missions, right? Do you think and do you believe today that God can prosper us to support more missionaries? Well, if you look at the budget, we'd say, well, I don't know, Pastor. But you know what? If we'll look at God truly in a sacrificial way, I think a lot of things can be accomplished in this year to come. And it can get downright exciting. Amen? Is anyone even excited this morning? Paul had gratification, even in Ephesus, when he reported to Corinth here the blessings that they achieved through sacrificial giving. All right, now, enough said, we're about out of time, but you can look through all Paul's writings. You can look anywhere in the Bible. You'll find adversity and you'll find prosperity. We need to understand adversity. We need to take account of it. We need to repent of it, the part that we have in it. And we need to copy with a genuine heart the prosperous things. So there you go. That's the thing about the places. And you could make a whole, you could preach for a year on this as a series. Corinth was not so good. Philippi and even Ephesus were good, better. They had good attributes. Now the people, in closing today. We learned last week about some of the not so good people, right? You're always going to have that, folks. You better get used to it. We like to complain about the people, right? Remember my pastor's joke at the meeting. How's things at your church, brother? Not too bad if it wasn't for the people. Well, that's the whole reason we exist. So we better get over it. You know, as long as the Lord has me here, there's going to be problems. Because you're looking at one. Come on, you can say amen. There was a tagline I saw from someone here recently. It said, causing more problems than solutions for the last 50-some years. It was a person. I hope that's not the case with me. I don't want to be like that, but you know it. You've got an imperfect guy up here, and you've put up with it for all these years. Can I have my say of that too, though?
Yes.
But I've also got a bunch of imperfect people. But I still love you. And we still got stuff to do, right? You know, the church is just like the farm. The farm is never done. I can go out at my place today and I can list off a year's worth of work for 365 days and I still wouldn't be done. And yet I go to bed every night and usually sleep soundly unless Kim is restless. Because I know that we'll get accomplished what we can the next day if God gives it to us, and if we don't, that we did everything we could to make it all happen today. And folks, that's the same way with the church. It's a work in progress. Amen. It's God's work in progress.
Amen.
And it'll last as long as He allows it and ordains it. Okay, let's talk about the people. Good people today. 2 Timothy 1, 2 through 6. 2 Timothy 1, 2 through 6. And I'm getting there. Well, obviously this letter was written to who?
Timothy.
Talk to me about Timothy a little bit here this morning. Was he truly his son, Matt? Was he his blood kin? You're right. I had to test you on that. Yeah, we could use that. I would rather use the term protege. Timothy was Paul's understudy. And you know what? Paul really liked Timothy. He loved him as a natural-born son. But he saw it in a different perspective, that he was a brother in Christ, but he was his spiritual son. Because Paul, this is a word that's not used much anymore, but Paul gave him tutelage. He was his teacher. His tutor, that's right. Well, let's see what Paul said about Timothy, because Timothy's one of those people that's a joy. I never saw Paul write anything against Timothy. People, you'll have that. Let me just take a minute. I know we're running late. I told Kim we'd be done early today. I think it was the music that used up our time. Aren't we supposed to blame? The first place God sent me, Corwith, Iowa. I told you that before. The church was right across the street from the IH dealer. Jim Wilhite. Kim, tell us about Jim Wilhite. That name Wilhite in the old GARBC was a good name. Pastors came from that family. Jim Wilhite loved everyone. He loved that little town of Corwith. They had a feed store. He farmed up there too, but they had a feed store in town. Now, you know, I have to be careful at Fruitland, because I love all of you, and that's how it'll always be. I don't have favorites. Kim and, by the way, if Kim and I aren't chummy-chummy with you in a way that you want, don't get mad about that. Say, thank God for that. You know what it's like to be around cliques. Are cliques a good thing in the church? No. And I'm here to say today, I'm thankful I don't think Fruitland has a clique in it today. Are you glad for that? Well, it might have a clique when the furnace fan, when the bearings go bad. The church is not a place for a clique. Not even if we look at ourselves as a whole. We should not be looked at by the community as a bunch of Pharisees. We should be looked at by the community as people that were sinners saved by God's grace.
Amen.
See, these are the things we need to focus on. But people, again, with Timothy. Here's what Paul said, verses 2 through 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Matt. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, without ceasing I have remembrance of thee, you, Timothy, in my prayers night and day. greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. You know, Timothy had a hard time. Read Paul's writings to him. Paul had to tell him, basically, stick with the stuff, man. Give it to him day and night. Be diligent. Deliver the word. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul thought a lot of Timothy. Timothy came from a good foundation. If you study the scriptures, his dad may not have been a believer. He was a Greek, okay? But his mother and his grandmother, and his, I hear a little baby crying here today. I'm glad for that. Make all the noise you want. You know why? Because biblical Christianity benefits, there's some bees there in case you didn't catch that, from just what took place here, from a family, what do I want to use there, the word tendency. Paul's, yeah, generational. Now again, just because you come from a godly family, everyone's saved individually before the Lord. So don't ever get that crazy idea. But the fact of the matter is, you see, there was a benefit here to Timothy because his mother and his grandmother were godly people. And that's what makes a healthy church. You're going to hear some messages on that here in this upcoming year if the Lord allows me to stick around. Because we got a problem with that in biblical Christianity today, folks. Our children haven't come along in the faith and in the church. We're going to diagnose that, and we're going to see if we can, through God's grace, find a cure for that. Do you agree with me? It's big stuff.
Yeah.
Very big stuff. We've been a massive building program here at Fruitland if all our children had followed through over the years. We'd be the mega church on the island.
Hallelujah.
You know, I'm going to tell you the truth, folks. Like I said, and I wouldn't tell you a lie. We don't need to be mega at Fruitland. We just need to be mighty.
Amen.
You agree? I thought I saw a hand. We gotta go because, well, there's no dinner in the oven today. We got time. No. I'm worried. Paul, verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul ordained Timothy into the gospel ministry, folks. He thought a lot of him. He was a good people. Good people. Timothy, he went to school under Paul. Yeah. You don't have to go to Bible college to serve God. By the way, and this is not because of me, but anytime this word of God's open, that's why it's important to come to church. Because I know what's going on in the seats. The same thing if I wonder about that. Should I check on that? These things are motivated to make us think and to grow in Christ. Now, with that said, does it hurt to go to Bible college and seminary? No. But you don't have to. You go to school. And you better be careful. By the way, faith turns 100 this year. Dean Naylor, I'm going to bring up Martin Marty. Martin Marty is a Lutheran scholar. He has 40 doctoral degrees, some earned, some conveyed. Martin E. Marty, Martin Amel Marty. I'm not here to criticize him, but he don't know the Word of God, just like I don't know English. Nicodemus thought he knew it, but he didn't, did he? By the way, that wouldn't be a bad challenge for some people this year to yield to God's call in ministry. Doesn't mean you got to be a pastor or a missionary or the vocation. But did you hear me? In ministry? And you're exactly right. However, old Paul, don't ever doubt that. Paul was a sharp cookie because he sat under a good teacher.
Well, he probably did go to college.
He did. Well, the Bible says, Gamaliel, the teacher of the teachers.
He was probably educated in there at that time.
Paul.
Obviously, because he could read and write for starters.
Paul was more than that. He was a doctor. Not an MD, but he was he was very learned. We'll talk about that later because we're out of time for that. But Gamaliel was his teacher. You can read about it. Gamaliel even said when the Christians became around and Paul was even persecuting him, he says, just watch the Christians thing. If it's genuine, it'll last. If it won't, it'll be gone. It lasted. Gamaliel wasn't too dumb. All right, where are we at here? Verse 18. You need to read all this, but here. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Paul's talking here about a guy named Onesiphorus. He mentions names again. By the way, I want to tell you that today. The reason I don't chum up tight with anyone here at Fruitland or Kim, because that's very dangerous. And if you start to show favoritism, Satan will grab a hold of that. And so that's something that we need to love everyone. And we don't put anyone up or down. Everyone. All right. One last turn. Philippians 4, 1 through 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians 4, 1 through 3. Do you get the message today or do we need to sit for a while longer? Philippians 4, 1 through 3. More names here. Philippians 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul says, hang in there. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche. Kim considered those as names for our children. I put the kibosh to it. Could you imagine calling, hey, Syntyche? That they be of the same mind in the Lord. Paul's what? He's commending people here by name. Good people. None of us are good, the Bible says. But you understand, in the Lord, we can be a blessing to God's work in 2021. I beseech Euodias. Oh, I read that. Help me. Don't let me get off track here. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Paul's thanking the gals. And what's he mean by a yoke fellow? See, that's what we should consider ourselves as the body of Christ. We all have diverse gifts in the body, but we all accomplish a purpose in a yoke. If you don't know what a yoke is, I'm not talking about an egg yolk. I'm talking about a yoke like two oxen or horses would have, or multiple. But we're all in a yoke here today, or we should be. Pulling together, by the way, which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. There it is. Paul named names. He worked with some good people in different places. We've had the privilege to work with some sinners, saved by grace, people here at Fruitland. Amen? Amen. We ought to be thankful for that. Again, I'm not going to name those out like Paul did, but like I mentioned at Corwith, Jim's long departed to be with the Lord, but he was a blessing, wasn't he, Kim? You know, I'm sad that that church closed, although the building's now used by a Hispanic congregation. But down the road, about 10 years after we were gone, the congregation disbanded, ran out of people. You know, one of the reasons I'm at Fruitland is because at Corwith, they said, we don't want to go over and call on the Catholics over at Wesley. And where else, Kim? Laverne. And you know what I knew right then? My time was over at Corwith. But that wasn't Jim Wilhite. He was ready to go and call on him for Jesus. But folks, that's what will happen at Fruitland if we lose our spark. Everyone needs the Lord. Like on the farm, we got stuff to do. Well, there it is. Names and places, people and places. For me, Fruitland as a whole fits the prosperity category. I told you that last week. I'm repeating this. Did you hear me? I'm not negative on Fruitland. Do I think we're going to face adversity? Do I think that we're going to also have prosperity? I do. But I think it fits the prosperity category as a place and people. What encourages me is that we see visitors at Fruitland. We see new people coming on. And I know it's a little light this morning, but we see kids. And I still consider myself a kid.
but I mean actual kids. Bring your kids. I like a little noise, and it helps with the boredom with the preaching. Now, Jane, don't put me on a pedestal, because if you lift me up, I'll fall and get hurt. Okay, we all need to stay what? Humble. Trusting God for every move. But never forget that when we serve Christ, there will be adversity and there will be prosperity. And these will be a challenge and a joy to us in the year 2021. Are you up to the task? Are you? Well, one thing we know for certain, God is. If we'll be faithful to Him, just like we learned there in the book of Jude with the ice storm, He'll never let us fall. That's the kind of God that we serve. And let me just say in closing, if you don't know that God personally today in your life, you're in for adversity. You may not have a lot of adversity on this side of eternity. It's like I mentioned to a couple people this week, when they complained about the snow. There's no snow in hell. God forbid that we be a stumbling block to people on the road to heaven. It's a sobering thought, but it's an exciting thought. But again, today, if you're here personally and you do not know Christ as your Savior, you've not had your sins forgiven, you've not by faith trusted to Him as the Savior of the world in your life, been born again, not of water, but of the blood, through the living water, Jesus Christ. Today's the day to set that straight, because we're still early on in the game in 2021. By the way, do you think there's big things going to happen this year? I'll guarantee it. It's time to get on the right track and enjoy God's prosperity in this year to come. Well, let's sing. We'll have some prayer. You have a good afternoon in the Lord, but if there are needs, I'll be up here. A couple of you wanted to talk to me, I'll be here. I'm not going to greet you today at the door because of the coughing and everything and throat. Jeff, you going to lead us home today? And then I'm going to ask Lonnie to close us out in prayer. But you come if there's needs today. Don't be afraid to publicly come. Jesus is here today to meet you, and He wants to work with you. On the overhead today, it's "How Great Thou Art." Have you acknowledged the Savior? Sing verse 1. You come today if you need to acknowledge Him. Because I want to tell you something, folks. This is not a song about us. This is a song about the Lord. Is He great in your life? Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Forgive me also today, but there's been an addition to the Herline family, a blessing. I know Bill and Teresa will be glad to share with you about that as well this morning. God's been good. Lonnie, would you dismiss us? But understand today, folks, He's still waiting, and He'll keep us from falling and present us faultless before the throne of His Father. Have a good afternoon. If there are needs, come on up. Kim and I will be here with you. Lonnie.